If I had a euro for every book about marketing that could be boiled down to the message, everything has changed, but don't worry, I'd definitely have the price of a latte by now. But the latest in the genre, Absolute Value, says something proved so regularly by our life online that it's hard to ignore. People talking to each other on the internet about things like computers, restaurants, and even countries are making a nonsense of old-fashioned advertising and marketing. In the age of Amazon, Yelp, and social shopping, telling people what they should like, suggests Itmar Simonsen, the Stanford marketing professor who's co-author of the book, is getting harder than ever.
You talk about this, a world that's coming of nearly perfect information. I wonder, could you draw me a picture of that world and how close we are to it?
Well, it's a world in which for many products, not all products, consumers nowadays can get very good information about the real quality of each product before they make a purchase. Now, there are some products, maybe toothpaste or a paperclip or milk, where we don't bother to seek information. But for a growing number of products, we do look for expert reviews and user reviews and demonstrations and so on, and they're just a click away. You can get a great deal of information, and you can make your decisions not based on what we used to call quality proxies, such as brand name and advertising and the price and where it's made and how much it costs and so on, which are inherently inaccurate indicators of quality. Instead, you can evaluate each product for its own, based on its own merit. And I think that's what we are talking about in the book when we are referring to nearly perfect information. Just the nearly perfect information about the quality of each product. And I should note, when I talk about quality, I'm using it very broadly. It's not just, say, reliability, durability. It's also how it feels to use it, how long it would last, what might be the market value of this product, and so on.
And the switch there is that we used to rely on marketing material and the marketing initiatives of companies to tell us what we would experience, and advertising to a degree to tell us what we would experience. And that sort of that intermediate of what we might experience with a product is being eroded.
That's exactly right. I mean, marketers had a great deal of control, not exclusive, of course. We could use our own judgment as far as we could tell. We can, if we happen to have friends who know the product, we could consult them. But marketers had a lot of influence on consumers' decisions because consumers did not have better information. So, for example, using advertising to persuade you that my product is better used to be effective. Today, it's not in many cases, because consumers have better sources of information.
One of the things that happens in this new realm is that it makes it very attractive for people to arrive and be quite big players in a business where formerly everybody would rely on brands, and that happens even in technology.
Absolutely. So I guess a major consequence of the fact that consumers are likely to rely less on brand, and even if I had previously a very good experience with, say, a particular car, next time I'm buying a car, I'm not necessarily loyal to that old car. I'm going to check to see what's available and what people are saying about the available cars. The entry barrier, as we call them, are lower. As long as you have a good product, you have a much better chance of penetrating the market and getting consumer acceptance. That applies to any category in which consumers use reviews, which are, as we know, facilitated primarily by the internet, social media, access to experts, and so on. So, for example, we're talking about restaurants. So in the past, chain restaurants had the big advantage that You knew what you're going to get regardless of location. Independent restaurants had a problem that, you know, if you're from out of town and you didn't know them beforehand, you probably wouldn't take a chance trying them. However, today, at least in the U.S., we have Yelp. I'm not sure if you have Yelp.
We do indeed.
So if you look at the reviews of independent restaurants, you get a great deal of information. In many cases, obviously, they'll show you the entire menu. They'll show you pictures of the various dishes. You'll see user reviews. You're looking at the average reviews. You're looking at the distribution of reviews. If you are interested to see what people like, what people don't like about it, about the restaurant, you can look at those reviews and figure out whether that applies to you or not. Same thing with hotels. Same thing with any product or service category where consumers are looking for reviews of other users, experts, and so on. In fact, that trend has caused harm and decreased the revenues of chain restaurants. Of course, it doesn't apply across the board. But there was, for example, a study in the city of Seattle where a researcher by the name of Michael Luca looked at the revenues of chain restaurants and revenues of independent restaurants after Yelp entered the Seattle market. What he found was, first, that every additional star on Yelp increases revenues of restaurants by about 5%. More importantly for our discussion here is that he found that as the penetration of Yelp increases, the revenues of chain restaurants tend to decrease, whereas the revenues of independent restaurants that receive reviews increase. Companies that relied on their prior reputation or prior consumer familiarity are no longer protected by their brand name, whereas companies with lesser known names but that receive favorable reviews are doing much better.
Professor Itmar Simonsen there of the Stanford Graduate School of Business. And next time we'll talk about why hyper brands like Apple somehow survive in the world of absolute value.